Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank God for you tuning in with us on today. We are grateful to have you. Glory to God. Now listen to our broadcast right now in progress. God bless you. Amen. We thank God for you tuning in with us. This is, amen, Kingdom Builders Radio Broadcast, and I'm Dr. Ulysses Morgan here with you. Glory to God with another wonderful message. Amen. We're coming to you right now live, and we thank God for this broadcast today, and those of you who are tuning in, amen. We'll be back with you in just a minute with a wonderful Word of God. We started on Sunday. We're going to give it to you today, so stay tuned, amen, as we come back later. God bless you. We thank God for you tuning in with us on today, and God is good all the time. This is Reverend Ulysses Morgan. I'm here with you on this Kingdom Builders Radio station, and we just give God the glory for those of you who have been tuning in and listening to this broadcast. We give God the glory for all things, and we thank God that you're going to be blessed today when you hear the word of the Lord as we bring it to you from the Bible. Amen. And we just give God the glory for all things. Now, we want to just get right into the Word of God, really, but I'm going to give you my mailing address in case there are many of you who may decide to write. This P.O. Box 492 here in Cordele, Georgia, C-O-R-D-E-L-E, Georgia, 31010 is our zip code. Amen. We don't know how long we'll be on the air or in this address, but you can write us right now and let God bless you real good with a testimony. Amen. And practice the spirit of reciprocity. God always made a condition for your giving. He says, if you give, I will give. So that means that you have to do something in order to get something. So we encourage you to sit down and write us a line of testimony and let us know that you're listening to this broadcast and how you enjoy it or how you, you know, may have some comments on how to improve it or whatever you may think. Glory to God. But we'd love to hear from you either way. Glory to God. And so just do that. Now, get a pencil and paper and get ready to take some notes. And those of you who are listening, you may want someone else to hear what the word is saying, because you'd be surprised of how the Spirit of God will touch them in a word that may not touch you as deeply. So, you know, God will lay it upon your heart to get somebody, amen, and call somebody and let them hear the word of God. And if it blesses you, you should always want it to bless somebody else as well. Amen. I am so glad to say that in our service this Sunday, we taught on a word that was so elated. Many people have put it on Facebook, and you will see it on there. Glory to God. And it's under my name if you want to look, but there are others that have posted it on Facebook too, because it was a word. I'm going to share a portion of it to you with now. Glory to God. And hopefully that the anointing, and I know that the anointing that is needed for now is going to come now, but it was such an anointing then and such a powerful message. Glory to God, such a powerful message. And I feel led to share it with you now, and the topic of that message is blind faith. Amen, blind faith. So we're going to talk about that, and I want you to give an attentive ear. Some of you may be riding in your car. You may be in your office. You may be at your home. You may be listening to it on the phone or by internet or computer, wherever you may be listening to it at. Amen. Get ready to give me 30 minutes of your time and let us expound upon the Word of God. Let us expound upon the Word of God together. Amen. Follow me as I read. The problem that we're having in churches today, we've got too many people taking the Word, glory to God, of the individual for granted. They have no knowledge of understanding how God operates. The Spirit of the Lord will confirm His anointing in a person, and you have to understand and know that. He will confirm His anointing in a person. Glory to God. And so, therefore, you just need to know whom God is talking to you. Amen. Just because the church is big and just because it's large and just because it's pretty doesn't necessarily mean God is in it. Amen. And the example that I want to give you is if you look at Jim Jones, the 990-something people that he persuaded because they just took his word for what he said, and there was no confirmation of the Spirit in there, he convinced them the power of persuasion, that same Spirit that deceived Eve in the garden. Glory to God. Satan never deceived Adam. His wife deceived him. He deceived his wife. And that same spirit is operating today. We look at David Koresh and the followers that he had and what happened to their compound, all because they just listened to one man instead of being confirmed, allowing what he says to be confirmed by the Spirit, to analyze it. And this is why so many people are taken for granted. They're taken unaware. They're taken deceived so greatly because we take the word of a man instead of analyzing it and allowing God to confirm that word within itself. And God will confirm it in you. He will confirm it. There's a difference between a gift and a talent. Amen. Because Jim Jones and David Koresh and all the rest of them, they had gifts. Amen. They had gifts. But there's a difference between gifts and an anointing. I'm sorry, gift and an anointing. Glory to God. And you want the anointing. You want the anointing because the only the anointing comes from God. And the word that's under the anointing is orchestrated by God. So as we talk about this today, glory to God, I want you to bear witness with us, glory to God, and follow us as we read. We're going to Acts the 9th chapter. We're going to talk about Paul. We're going to talk about his conversion. Amen. I'm going to break it down scripture with you with the time that I have left. Amen, on this broadcast. So get your Bibles, turn to it. Acts 9, 1, we're going to begin to read. But before we go, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this particular broadcast. Thank you for those who may be listening, amen, even live as we're here now, and maybe, glory to God, hearing it later on in the week. Touch right now in Jesus' name. Allow these lips of clay to penetrate these airways and bless our heart and soul. And I know that you're going to answer a lot of people's prayers. You're going to give them a word. You're going to do it. I may not know who they are, where they are, but you're going to give them a word. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts 9 and 1. We're going to talk about Paul. We're going to talk about blind faith. And I'm going to show you what happened here, verse for verse, in the scriptures. All right, here we go. First verse 9. Chapter of Acts says, and Saul, which is what his name was, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Now, we're looking at Saul, glory to God, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, from what we understand. And the high priest was the governing body of the Jews. He was the man. He was kind of like the president, glory to God. And the Sanhedrin was a governing body, of the Jews. And it all began back when Moses, when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, told him and expounded upon him that he needs help judging the people of Israel. And he appointed 70 men to help him with the problems that the Israelites had. And that governing body proceeded all the way down through the New Testament. And this is where we're at now, because now the high priest and the Sanhedrin are the governing body of the Jews as allowed by the Roman church. And when Jesus came, he denounced a lot of things that they were doing that was in error. And any time that you're in a position, it is very hard for a person to accept truth, glory to God, especially when they think that someone is subordinate to them. And so the Sanhedrin and the high priest did not want to accept truth. And so this is why they wanted Jesus crucified. And they didn't even understand that they were doing the will of God. So what you have to understand is a lot of times when you are being crucified, a lot of times it is God's will, because God's getting ready to elevate you. And the crucifixion always causes you to humble yourself. It causes a spiritual bleeding that you'll never forget. And a lot of times that spiritual bleeding is for someone else later on down the line. Glory to God. Every person that's in the will of God at some point in time has to be crucified. Glory to God. I've been crucified. And sometimes you have to take it, even though you don't want to take it, even though you, after it's over with, you wonder why you took it. But God has a plan. And so they crucified Jesus, and now Paul, being a part of that, had been convinced that the church that Jesus left here with the disciples were in error, glory to God, with the Jewish beliefs. And so Paul asked for letters for the high priest to go out, and the letters was the authority to do so, to bind those that were going according to the teachings of Jesus instead of the teachings of the Pharisees. They were either killed or they were bound. And Paul went out to carry out this task, him and some more men. And so this is where we are at this point. And in the third verse, he says, "And as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." Okay? "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, the Bible declares that when Paul, and we understood, was on his way to persecute the people of the in other words, the church, because we have to get something straight here. The building is really not the church. It's the synagogue. It's the temple. Amen. It's the house of prayer, but it's really not the church. The church is the people of God, those who believe and are righteous in God. That's the church. And Paul was going to find out who they were that were going according to the teachings of Jesus. And as he was on his way, a light shined from heaven. And the Bible says, okay, that when that light shined from heaven, that Paul fell to the earth off his mule, and he heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Okay, why persecutest thou me? Now, here is the first revelation that you need to understand. That Paul was going to persecute people who were practicing a doctrine that he did not believe in. He was going to the church to bind them or destroy them. That Jesus had died for, that Jesus had set up. He was going to try to destroy what Jesus had set up. Now, you must understand, and anybody that's listening to me right now, I know that you have enough sense to understand that you can't stop what belongs to God. You mean to tell me that Jesus is going to set something up in this earth? He's going to ordain people. He's going to anoint people. Jesus is going to establish his church, establish his work in the earth, and he's going to let you, a feeble human being, come and destroy his work? You mean to tell me that God is going to bless you? God has miracles waiting on you. God has blessings you've never seen. He's waiting. They're waiting on you. He's about to give them to you. And it's his will for you to have them. And he's going to let some feeble human being come and stop what he has ordained for your life. If you believe that, you might as well turn the radio off right now. You might as well cut me off right now. Glory to God. Because you'll never have what God intends for you to have. Glory to God. There is no feeble human being that can cut off what God has ordained. If he ordained the work in your life, that work is going to be completed. He that has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until his coming back. He's going to do it. Nobody alters the will of God. Nobody alters the work of God, and no one stops it. Amen. And so Paul going thinking that he has the power to stop what Jesus has ordained. And the Bible says that he met him on the road. The light, the glory of God shined down from heaven, and he fell to the earth off of his mule. And he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, the first thing that Paul, in his feeble, logical, fleshly mind, probably would have thought, such as some of us today would have thought, Lord, I'm not persecuting you. I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting these people. But what Jesus was saying is that if you persecute what I ordained, if you persecute who I called, if you tear down what I have established, you're doing it not to them, you're doing it to me. He told some people one time, he said, why haven't you visited me? He said, why haven't you fed me? Why haven't you clothed me? And they looked and said, Jesus, when were you in prison and when were you hungry? Because if we knew that, we would have done it, but we never seen you that way. And Jesus replied, whatever you do to my least ones, you do it also unto me. Glory to God. Whomever you bless that belongs to God, it's just like blessing God. Oh, my Lord, you got to get this. You got to get this. When you are, when you bless an anointed vessel of God, when you give to an anointed vessel of God, when that person, that man, that woman is doing what God has called and ordained them to do, and you bless them, amen. It's not so much that you're just blessing, just giving to them. You are blessing what God ordained, so you are blessing God. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. Glory to God. Fifth verse says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Now, he said, I am Jesus. But in actuality, if you would research your Bible and research your word, you will find that actually this is not really Jesus. It is an angel sent by Jesus. It is an ambassador of Christ. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father in power and great glory. If Jesus would have came himself, the glory of God upon him would have destroyed the flesh of Paul. Amen. But there was an angel that was close that Jesus sent. This is why the light just blinded him, knocked him off his mule. Glory to God. And it did not destroy him. Amen. And the reason the angel said that I am Jesus is because he's saying to Paul, I am in the stead of Christ. He has sent me. Glory to God. And he has sent me as though I am he himself. My words are his words. Glory to God. And we must understand that. You were reading the Old Testament a lot of times when the Bible says that the Lord came unto certain men, and we understand it was not God. You cannot stand in the presence of God and live. That's why Moses was on the mountaintop. He said, God, let me see your glory. He said, no man can look on me and live. He said, but I'll let you see my backside as I pass by. And that was an angel that was close to God. Because you can't see no part of God and live in this fleshly body. But that angel came down and saw a portion of the backside. And the Bible said his face shined. when he came back to the congregation. So we see what this is here. Sixth verse says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now here we're talking about Paul. Paul is saying, now, Lord, tell me what to do. Jesus says, go into the city and it shall be told. But I'm talking to you. You're talking to me, Jesus. You're right here. You can tell me what you want me to do right now. I'm here in your presence. Yet, amen, the Lord said unto Paul, go into the city because I have established an order that I will not break. Man tries to break it in the day, but Jesus never breaks his order. He said, I've already ordained the man there to tell you what to do. I've already ordained him and put him there. Now, if I override what I ordained, what kind of God am I? Amen. If I override what I have ordained, how delighted can I stand? If I override what I have ordained, what kind of God of order? I'm a God of order. I'm a God of order. I can't. I do not override, glory to God, what that I have ordained. So go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. Now look what happened. And the man which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Paul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Amen. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither eat nor drink. Glory to God. And neither did he eat or drink. He was there 3 days with no sight. He was led blind. Glory to God. And he had to go to Ananias' house, which God had already talked to him. And Ananias was just a disciple of Christ. He wasn't an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He was a disciple of Christ, was his description, was his title. We're so caught up on titles now. We just seem like titles makes us look big. Titles, glory to God, makes us look important, and titles makes us look so anointed. You are not anointed at all by the title, because the title doesn't make you. You have to make the title. You have to be called to do what you need to do in order to observe the title. God is good. But Paul is blind, going in, can't see where he's going. He went blind, but he believed that when he got where he was going to go, amen, that his sight was going to come back to him. There was a man that came to Jesus and asked Jesus to restore his sight. Jesus spit on the ground, made clay, amen, and put it on his eyes. When he made the clay and put it on his eyes, why did he just lay hands on the man so he could see? But he didn't do that. He made clay. He spit on the ground. The man heard the spit. He made it put on his eyes. And I'm sure the man is wondering, you are a worker of miracles. Why can't you just speak it or lay hands and I just come see? It's because everybody doesn't get their miracle the same way. And then the question is, how bad do you want it? Sometimes your miracle lies in certain things that aren't pleasing to everybody else. And you have to understand that, or you will stop where you are and stunt your growth in Christ Jesus and your blessing. Now, when he put the spittle on the man's eyes, he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, this was very, very, very amazing to me, because here Jesus telling the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He's blind. Now he's packed with mud on his eyes. How can he see to get where he needs to go to get his miracle? Jesus says, go. This is blinded faith. In other words, your miracle lies at the pool. You are here with me. Between me and the pool is faith, and you have to believe your way, amen, getting to where I told you to go, so you can receive your miracle. God from Zion. Glory to God. You say, preacher, how come I haven't gotten what I'm supposed to get from God yet? Because you're walking blind into where God wants you to be. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. You'll never see how it's going to be done. You'll never see, amen, try to figure out how it's going to be done. But just when God says do it, amen, Jesus knew that if he told the man to go to the pool of Siloam, if he headed in the direction of the word of God where he was supposed to go, he was going to find his way to that pool. Why? Because Jesus commanded him to go that way. He didn't say go backwards. He didn't say go left nor right. He said go to the pool. He didn't say go to the Jordan River and dip. He didn't say go to the Sea of Galilee and dip. He didn't say go to the Red Sea and dip. He didn't say go to nowhere else. You got to go where I told you to go in order to get your miracle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of y'all waiting on your miracle? Amen. How many are waiting on your miracle? How many of y'all are walking toward your miracle? Amen. Right now, it doesn't seem like you can see your way. It doesn't seem like, amen, things are happening like they should be happening. You don't see how things are going to materialize. You don't see how things are going to be fixed, but you're still reaching and you're still praying and you're still believing. And God says you just keep praying and you just keep believing, because every time you pray and when you get to the point where you're holding fast, no matter what the danger, no matter what the cost, no matter what the turmoil, no matter what the trouble, no matter what the oppression, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you're still believing in me. You're still walking toward your miracle, because after a while you're going to reach it. That man got to the pool blind. And it doesn't record where anybody helped him get there. When he got to the pool, he kneeled down and washed his face and washed the mud off. And when the mud came off of his eyes, the light shined in and he began to see what he had never seen before in his life. When you get to your miracle, it is something that God has prepared for you that you couldn't imagine you were going to get. Your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, neither has it entered into your heart the things God got prepared for them that love him. Glory to God. And Isaiah recorded, for them that wait on him. Glory to God. Sometimes you got to wait. Sometimes you got to keep moving. Sometimes you got to believe. Sometimes you got to just stand still. But your miracle lies where God has directed you to. That's where your miracle is. It's nowhere else. It's not necessarily in your title. Not, it is, even if you got a title, it ain't in the title. It ain't in being a bishop. It ain't in being an apostle. It ain't in being a prophet, evangelist, pastors, or teachers. All that just identifies the anointing that's on your life. And if the anointing is on your life, it will be proven and recognized by others. But don't get caught up with the title. Just do what God has called you to do. Blind faith is what we need in this hour. Amen. And God is going to bring it to you. Glory to God. Our time is gone. And we thank God for you tuning in with us. And we hope that this message has brought some joy to your heart. Sit down. Let me know. Right. P.O. Box 492, Collier, Georgia. 31010 is the zip code. You stay there. And let God move in your life. It may be some mud on your eyes. You might not can see where you're going. But God has directed you to the pool. And your miracle is in the pool. And guess what? You are going to make it. God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Thank you.
Lord.